All right. Well, we got on the phone with us, our blessed dear friend. He called into the Holy Ghost hotline, Brother Waleed Zaru. How are you doing, my dear brother?
As usual, the better than I deserve. Thank you. Blessed by the Lord. Thank you so much.
It is
great. Hallelujah. How are you guys?
Oh, we are blessed, and Hannah is full of gratitude. She's finally got some gratitude in her attitude, and it's a good day, Brother Waleed.
It's great, man. It makes it easier to get along in the studio than doesn't it?
Yeah, I've been praying for this for a couple years now, and I'm just glad to see the manifestation of it.
That's it, man. Hoping against hope, calling things that aren't as though they are, right?
Yeah, the Lord still does miraculous things. No.
I was listening to you guys talking.
Nope. Well, I left my 5-year-old diet and I grew up. Now,
forgetting those things that are behind, huh? You've been pressing on towards the mark.
Yeah. Now, there's still a pizza shop that I would eat at any time.
I'm waiting. Come on.
Don't tempt me.
Come on up.
How's the family?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you. We're getting ready to head out to South Africa here in a week or two.
Okay.
We'll be there for most of November. If y'all can remember us in prayer, we do appreciate that.
You are you doing some conferences and speaking over there?
Yeah, we've been invited. We're supposed to do some stadium preaching crusades, but I encourage them, if they don't basically do that right, not to do it. I'd rather keep it small to their local churches and have more results than them have a high expectation, pay a lot of money, and not execute it properly. That's just practical, to be honest with you. And then, no, we're invited to some main churches there. We're teaching on evangelism to the different congregations, stirring up the body of Christ in that area. So we're very excited. I met a lot of these are international speakers. I met them at other conferences. And simultaneously, they all invited us, all wanted us to come to their nation and share the message we've been sharing on evangelism to stir up their churches. So we're excited about that. And the opportunity is always humbling, of course. Get away. You hear that background noise? I'm sorry. Let me get away from that.
Oh, you're okay. So what's the Lord been speaking to you, Brother Waleed?
Well, I mean, each day you want to hear from God or whatever he wants to say. He's always speaking, and we're always trying to listen by his grace. There's been a lot rattling on, you know, over prayer. To consecrate myself more to prayer and being quiet. And, you know, in the natural, you sense your own inadequacies and weaknesses, which I know the Lord uses. You know, and in that, as you guys were speaking, fear can come in. So you really just got to rest in the Lord. And he uses a whole lot of nothing, and his spirit comes through that weakness. So that's what I've seen for many, many years now. It won't be any different this time. But in that time of quietness, we do hear a lot of things. This morning I was meditating on the different laws of God, the laws of Christ, the law of liberty. You know, there's, I don't know, about 12 different laws in the New Testament. But listening to your conversation earlier, at the end of your conversation, that fear does manifest itself in so many different ways. I was dealing with a couple recently. They just opened a new one of the deacons in my home church in introduced them to me, and they just opened a brand new business in a very nice area, a very posh part of town, and beautiful jewelry store, and I felt the need to go pray for them and pray for their business. And but the wife is dealing, particularly they've been dealing with a lot of spiritual attack, and a lot of the source was coming from a root of fear. And as he was explaining to me, you know, he came by my restaurant, I met him there in the morning getting to know him, but he was explaining this to me, and I asked him, I said, does she dabble with bloodline, you know, and generational curses? And he said, that's exactly what it is. She's really listening to these teachers and digging in. And a lot of the source of that is trying to understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. You know, why am I having these spiritual attacks? And it led to us spending about 3 hours with them and just going through some passages and helping them understand that, you know, it's not a one-time experience. So many people are looking for an experience, and the fear that comes from thinking that my ancestors, you know, she comes from a Hindu background. Her family were actually generations of priests in Hinduism. Wow. And very known, very, very popular, wealthy family in India. And she came to faith in Christ at 16 years old. And so naturally that uprooted, basically flipped out the whole family there. But she has an amazing testimony. But that fear that comes from trying to understand what I'm going through, why I'm going through it. So we were able to speak into some of that generational curses that the popular thing in deliverance right now, deliverance ministry, is all over social media. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding on that, and among other things. But just going to the Word and helping them understand the renewing of the mind, that other people's sins are not passed down from one generation to another. Like that's not properly understanding the scripture. That the Lord holds people. The misunderstanding of it, Exodus 20, where it talks about visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children. And that, you know, the Bible says the soul that sins will surely die in Ezekiel. So each person answers for their own sin, not the generations. You know, and there can be propensities and learned behaviors and social issues that are passed down generationally. But it causes a lot of fear, and it's an experience rather than a renewal of the mind for deliverance. You know, and I think there's a lot of that going on. So I was just catching the end of what you all were saying. That's something I was dealing with recently in a real-life scenario. Helping someone truly move in deliverance, you know, and freedom from the fear that they were dealing with, and then trying to make logic out of it. You know, yeah, identify, repent of it, be renewed in your thinking, and then walk in your new identity, mm-hmm. you know, as the redeemed of the Lord and adopted, powered sons and daughters of God, you know. But that's a very real thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, we've actually been discussing some of that same language you've used in Wednesday nights lately. And
have you been listening back to our... actually, no, you haven't, because we haven't even posted those yet.
But it was probably about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months, and I had a dream. And I was in the pulpit, and I was like just preaching. You know how you are, preaching hard. And I just kept saying the phrase, come out and come in, come out and come in. And I shouted, like, in the middle of sermon, we've got to stop just coming out, and now the body of Christ has to start coming in. And Christianity has to stop being about just what we're taking off and really be about what we're putting on, because we're putting on Christ. And my fear is that, like, what you just said with, like, the generational things that are happening in lineages, and my dad was a drunk, so I'm going to be a drunk. You don't have to be. Like, the cross sets you free. Jesus changes you. But we're teaching people just to renounce. And it's like, I'm not doing it.
Well, the reason you won't repeat it is that you've been renewed in your mind. You have a new way of living. You have a new way of life. You're in the Word. You're not, you may have been raised this one way, but you're a new creation. And it's not just shouting at a demon that's going to get it done. It's actually manifesting and walking in the ways that the Word has instructed, commanded us, and our mind has been renewed, and true metanoia, true repentance has taken place. And I feel like if we're not careful, the deliverance movement will actually become a proposed cop-out. Like, don't crucify the flesh. Don't do anything. Here it is. Just let me rebuke it, and we'll move on with life.
Well, I think it's already there, to be honest with you. I think it's replaced the renewing of the mind for an experience. And, it's a lack of people understanding their identity and who Christ is and who Christ is in them. And, Galatians 3 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, And Second Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Colossians 1, 2, Christ has delivered us and disarmed us from every power. Jesus bore every curse on the cross. Mm-hmm. And believers are no longer under the curse. And that old identity and bloodline bondages, supposedly, they were all crucified in Christ. So there needs to be some, the real issues that they have, maybe learned patterns and what they grew up in. We have them. There are certain cultures that are just given to certain things more than others. Certain subcultures, certain family members, these guys are just a bunch of gossip, like Paul when he was talking about Titus and the Cretans, the descriptions he gave about the Cretans, a bunch of heady strong, I don't know whether you call them liars or covetous, but there was a certain wording that Paul used to describe the propensities in a negative aspect of the Cretans. And, so we over-focus on that, like you said, the putting off, and then we end up strengthening the very sin we're trying to be delivered from. It's like the guy who's in bondage to addiction, whatever it is, they keep rebuking the addiction all day, not realizing they're strengthening it, right? Instead of walking in the renewing of their mind and understanding their freedom in Christ, their grace of God. And the Bible talks about Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So these learned behaviors and these habits, these unrenewed thinking. So you have the natural mind self-analyzing. Why am I going through these things? Why am I still having these spiritual warfare struggles, if I'm a Christian? And instead of, realizing they just need to, their will be broken through their discipleship, through repentance, through the Holy Spirit's renewal, but not through rituals, or curse-breaking prayers. And I think it seems more spiritual to have a ritualistic act, or just deliverance prayer experience. I do believe in deliverance, but I believe it comes through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily through a one-time act. I mean, bondages can be broken. I've seen it. I've prayed with people, but they still have to put on Christ, as you're saying. And if they don't, they're not going to understand their identity. They're not going to acknowledge that the recurring family sin patterns in their life, as they learn the truth of the Word and their mind being renewed, they start learning of their own personal tendencies and propensities. I'm given to anger, and I have addiction issues, temptations. There's nothing new. There's no temptation except that which is common to man, unbelief, etc. And I turn from my personal participation. That's repentance. And I replace the old thinking, which is what you're talking about, with Scripture, in Spirit-led obedience. I put on Christ through my obedience and taken every thought captive by the obedience to Christ, the Scripture says. And then I rejoice, man, that I'm a new person. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been redeemed, adopted, powered by the Holy Ghost. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Amen. And I stand firm, and I won't submit again to this yoke of slavery that my family's been given to, this sin of being a servant of the devil. So if we're not careful, we start focusing on individual sins and not sin in general, that Christ has purchased and redeemed us in the blood of Christ that purchased us. You know, so I think it's a very important subject you're hitting on. And due to its popularity right now, especially among modern preachers, a lot of this stuff is in Africa, honestly. A lot of it has come from Africa and been popularized through social media, certain teachers who have started to promote it here, some African preachers that are promoting it here within our country. And it seems more spiritual. But honestly, I've been around long enough that it's really nothing new. It's just another name with a new hat. You know, it's the same thing, same hat with a new name. Let me say that. Get that backwards, but you know, you saw it in the 60s, the 70s, where some people are just given to, my freedom's going to come from this one-time experience instead of the putting on Christ. What's it mean to put on Christ? You know, as you've been teaching your congregation, that's a critical subject, and really, it really stabilizes people because they're going to learn the hope they have in Christ, the true hope, how much God cares and how much he looks after his word, that he's the one who's given us the promises, and because he's given the promises, they're sure to 1,000 generations, so we can actually rest. Nothing I do is going to change anything. I need to rest in the promise. I need to receive the promise. It's not my faith. It's his faith. It's his promise. It's his character that I'm trusting in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting my faith in him who gave the promise. You know, for example, he promises us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So we are promised and predestined to be made like Christ, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit in my life is the fruit of the Spirit. What's my responsibility? I cooperate. I seek him. I become a day and night Christian. I seek the Lord. I pray a lot. I get to know my Bible a lot. I get to know, and I think this is important. That's what I've been really meditating on, is knowing his ways. You know, so many of us want to know things about God, but it's impossible to know his ways if you don't spend time with him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The more I spend time with you, Aaron, and the more we get to know each other, the more we learn of each other's ways, you know, because we spend time with each other. And it's the same. And unless we hang out with the Lord, pray a lot, hang out in the Word, put on Christ, it's impossible to really know his ways. And I love Moses' prayer in Exodus, you know. Exodus 33, I'm turning to it real quick. Last night in evening prayer was a real... And you hear, you know, why he was called the meekest man. You hear a man who prays this way, a man whose heart is saying, you know, you have not let me know. You have said in Exodus 33:12, yet you have said, I know you by name. You have also found grace in my sight. Could you imagine God saying that to you and me? Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Show me your way. Show me your ways. And then Psalm, you know, 95. Psalm 95 goes on to say that they have not known my ways. You have tested me. After seeing the miracles in 10 and 11, you've seen the miracles and you continue to test me, you know, because you've not followed me in your heart and you've not known my ways, you know. And I think when we set our hearts and our minds on the Lord, on His Word, on His promise, and we pray a lot, and we know His Word a lot, you know, we will learn of His ways. And these other things become things that just fall off.
Yeah.
They become less important.
Can I ask you a question on this?
Yeah.
Do you feel like for a lot of people, and I know I have been there in my own life, like I can confess this myself, I feel like we know God through a middleman so often. Like we hear just our preacher, or we hear just Aunt Sally or our grandmother or Uncle Joe or anything like that. And yet what you're encouraging us to do is start to know Him ourselves. Get into the Word ourselves. Develop this prayer life for ourselves. And I feel like for a lot of us, especially in the age of social media, the age of podcasting, which none of that's inherently evil, it's easy to know God through a middleman and not know God personally.
Amen. All I could say to that, 100% true. And you'll find that most preachers even are just preaching other people's sermons. I mean, most of them are so busy. Who's hanging out with the Lord?
Mm.
Where's the man of God who's spending 2 and 3 hours a day with Christ? And that's just normal, not anything except, you know, because they don't want anything. They just want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. A lot of men of God today from the previous generation are really hesitant to even recommend seminaries today. They're encouraging people to get to know your Bible and get to know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we don't have a personal relationship, and I mean, the only middleman is Christ, you know, and He's the one mediator between God and men. And not knowing Him, you're not going to know God, because He is the express visible image of God. So we're only learning about God, but we're not knowing Him. And therefore, we're probably just still stuck in religion and ritualism. And we don't have a yielded heart, so we don't know the grace of God. We don't have the power of His grace working in us and through us. So we have no victory over sin. So we try harder. You know, most people's interpretation, unfortunately, too many in churches, is do good, try harder. You know, and that's not Christianity. That's not what Paul preached. That's not what Jesus said. We have to get back to the gospel, to be honest with you, really understand what that is. And is Christ alive in me? You know, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have to get back to Jesus alive in me. Is Jesus alive in me? Have I been born of the Holy Spirit? You know, or am I still somebody trying to be a better person, to do good and try harder? And then I'm under condemnation when I keep failing. You know, maybe I'm not in Christ, and Christ is not in me, like, you know, and maybe I have begun that journey, and I just need to get back into the Word and prayer and really understand and learn, come learn of me, Jesus said, right? And come learn of Him. Well, keep up that preaching, man. That's some good word for your church, brother.
Well, it's just, I feel like as we started the book of Jude on our morning Bible study, and, you know, Jude says, I wish I could have come to you with this common message of salvation, like, let's celebrate the blessing, let's celebrate all this. But he said, it's time to contend for the faith. And I feel like we're in that season to where there's so much false teaching and so many trendist things going and so many social media fads and so many false gospels and so many prosperity nonsense. Like, it's, we've left Christ. And if we as the shepherds are not defending the faith, who will? And as John Calvin said, we read his quote the other day, you know, if when a dog will bark when it's being attacked, or a dog will bark even when its master's being attacked, and how much more should we bark when the Word of God's being attacked? So,
amen. And Paul, towards the end of his life there in chapter 4, you know, at the end of his race, the end of his journey, you know, he says, preach the word. Be ready. Be ready. Preach the word. You know, for a time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves. For themselves, because they have an ear to it, and it, they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myth. And he tells them, but as for you, so we're in that day and hour. You know, Paul said there will be a time. And those who are preaching the truth, and many will be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And I think as sincere as some of the people are in their deliverance, it's not based in the word. So if you don't know your word, how are you going to discern what is false? By becoming more familiar with the truth. Years ago when I worked in a bank as a young man, for a little while, you know, we caught counting all that cash. And the way they trained you to discern false money was by being familiar with the real money. You know, it was
amen. False.
And that's the same thing. I remember I uncovered a fake $100 bill because it felt different in my hand. It didn't feel right. I'm not saying emotionally, but it didn't. But because I knew the true $100 bill, I was able to discern the false one. And it's the same today. We need to know the Word of God, the living Word of God. Jesus became Word. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And mm-hmm. He said, I will be in you, and you will be in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And there's no fruit production.
Amen.
Without us abiding in Christ. And if we don't understand Christ in us, the hope of glory, you know, how are we going to manifest the life, the power, the spirit to impact with his love and reach those around us? Because we're just consumed in religion. We're so self-absorbed instead of absorbed in who Christ is in me. I mean, if I ever get discouraged, when I get discouraged, I'll just turn to Christ in me. You know, people that are genuinely humble are not consumed with themselves. They're consumed with Christ who's alive in them.
Amen.
There's just no room for self.
Well, Brother Waleed, I could have this conversation for hours, but we're out of time. It always moves
Thank
so
you for
quick.
Allowing me to share my heart.
Oh,
I hope someone got encouraged out there.
I was encouraged.
I was encouraged. You got two.
Yeah, you got us two. But we do. We do love you, brother, praying for you. And I'm going to take you up on that pizza soon.
Yes, and keep us in prayer in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me again, guys. It's been always an honor.
Always an honor to have you, my friend. Be blessed, and we will be praying for the South Africa trip.
Amen. God bless you and your listeners.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, well, we're out of here. What a great morning. Always love Brother Waleed. Always love it when the Lord starts to confirm things, because literally a lot of the stuff we've been saying that I feel like a lot of people's kind of struggling with is he was saying the same thing. I think there's some things happening. So love you all. Be blessed. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time.